I want us to pray.
Abba Father, we thank you, we magnify your name, we thank you for an awesome time like this. Thank you for accepting our worship and our praises. Thank you for those wonderful testimonies that rebound to your praise and to your glory. You are awesome indeed, awesome God, the Ancient of Days, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, lily of the valley, the soon coming king. He that was dead and behold is alive forevermore. Alive to save, to heal, to deliver, and to set the captive free. We magnify your name this morning. We thank for your very presence here, O God. Father, that you speak through me to your children this morning. Strengthen us, revive us, and restore us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask, O Lord, that, O Lord, your very presence will come down. Your manifested presence, O God. Father, and prove yourself real in the life of everyone here today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So the topic, the endowment of power. The endowment of power is going to be a teaching session. Now the Lord leaves, maybe at the end, we lay hands. But because of time constraint, when we come to the ministration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a number of people are slow to receive. Some are quick to receive. Time may not permit to go into details regarding ministration, but you have the basis to believe God for your own baptism. Amen. Let's read a passage from the Bible, John chapter 14, 15 to 18. The Gospel of John 14, 15 to 18. Are we there? It's good that we read. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Amen. If you look at this discourse, you see something about the divinity of Christ. There are some people who still don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty today. They see him as just a righteous man, a prophet. But look at what he said about himself. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the comforter? That is why he said he will send another comforter. Physically, he was going to leave them for a while. Talking about the apostles and disciples now, he said he will pray the Father. Verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," because he is one, "that he may abide with you forever." This one that will come will abide with you forever. I have been with you now for about 33 and a half years, but I'm leaving you. I'm going to my Father. But the comforter I shall send, and that will be sent, will live with you forever. Will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That Jesus, he was dwelling with them. And he said that he will be in us as the Holy Spirit. That's why we can boldly say, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ in you. You carry the Spirit of God. You carry God yourself. Amen. Amen. Yes. Christianity is different from other religions. We talk about God, God, God. Our God resides inside of us. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit. We hear the Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the same. Exactly. Amen. Holy Spirit is the comforter promised in John chapter 15. Another comforter. And he's to abide with us forever. He will not just come today and then tomorrow he's no more there. He'll be there all the time while you are sleeping, while you are awake. Whatever you are doing, the Lord will be there as the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, in the Old Testament, was there the Holy Spirit? Yes. The Holy Spirit was there manifesting in various vessels to do the extraordinary, the supernatural. You can remember people like Samson. How that the Spirit of God came upon him and did the extraordinary, did the supernatural. People marveled. That was the Spirit of God. But the Spirit did not abide with them continuously at that time in the Old Testament. Remember Joshua also? He also manifested the power of God, and Moses and many others in the Old Testament. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. In the New Testament, Holy Spirit comes and resides in the believer. In that passage we read, said the Spirit of God, the world does not know, the world, the people, the unbeliever, they don't know the Holy Spirit, but ye know him, for he abides with you. This time he's going to come and reside in you. That's the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is also called the Advocate. He's the strengthener, he's our helper. That translation says stand by. He's always there for us. He doesn't come and go. But we can grieve the Spirit anyway, but we shouldn't grieve the Spirit. Amen. Yes. There's a wonderful passage we want to read about the power of God. There's power in that Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit that we receive, there is power. Ephesians chapter 1. 19 to 23. I want to read, every one of us. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 23. Are we there? Ephesians chapter 1? Okay. Verse 19. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, that the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's a prayer of Paul for the saints of God at Ephesus. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. This is the power of God. The power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit is above all other power. In fact, at the mention of Jesus' name, every other power bow. You may not know, if we are always continuously in the church, we don't go out to win souls, we don't go out to minister the word of God, we may never know this power. But the power is there. At conversion, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit makes you a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Take note of that. The Holy Spirit makes you a member, baptizes you into the body of Christ. That one is basic. So as many of us as are born again here, the Holy Spirit actually made it possible for us to be convicted in the first place. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have repented and asked Jesus to come into our life. So Holy Spirit plays a role in our conversion. But there is a dimension that we want to talk about, the endowment of power. The endowment of power does not come until one receives the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus Christ himself was filled with the Holy Spirit, as well as Elizabeth, as well as disciples. They did signs and wonders. Jesus Christ sent them out to win souls, and they came with results. And Jesus Christ said, oh, you are so excited about the results. But more importantly, be happy that your name is written in the book of life. Amen. So there were signs and wonders through the apostles and disciples, even while Jesus Christ was ministering, prior to when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. But it was like a transition period. And it was still like the Old Testament. The Spirit will come upon them and will go. Did not abide. But in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost comes and takes full residence, and signs and wonders follow. Amen. For the purpose of clarity, talk about several baptisms. We want to talk about the seven baptisms of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Seven baptisms. Some them in the Old Testament. You just listen. Don't take so much pain to take the scripture, but I'll read them. Number one, John's baptism. John came baptizing the people and preparing them for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But he baptized them with water. That's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Secondly, Jesus baptizing himself. Jesus Christ was baptized. Why was he baptized? He was baptized to show us a pattern, an example of a believer. He was the pattern son. Amen. So Jesus Christ himself was baptized. We find that in John chapter 4, 1 to 2. Then also there is the baptism in suffering that Jesus Christ referred to in Luke 12, verse 50. The Calvary experience. Jesus Christ suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, was groaning and crying, asking that the Father's way be done. The baptism, he asked them, are you able to partake of the baptism of suffering? The baptism I'm going to be baptized with, he was referring to the baptism of suffering. That's in Luke 12, 50. Fourthly, the baptism in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. May you write them down and refer to them yourself. Number five, Christian baptism. Christian baptism in water is commanded in Matthew 28, verse 19. When you receive Christ, you should be baptized in water. Amen? In Mark 16, 16, say, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. If you are here, you are not yet baptized, what are you waiting for? And you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to get baptized. So meet with the pastor and say, I want to get baptized. That's water baptism, Christian water baptism. Then there is also the baptism to Christ, which I mentioned earlier. That when you are born again, the Holy Spirit actually plays a role. You are convicted and you repent, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. So you are now made a member of the family of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. That's the one baptism. Number 7, baptism with the Holy Ghost. This one was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, verse 8. Let's read it. And that's the one we are emphasizing today. You can see there are these seven baptisms, but we are not referring to any of these other ones, but the last one, the baptism with power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while he beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 9 is important to know that this was the parting remark before Jesus Christ went up to heaven. He emphasized the need for them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, for them to receive power. In Luke chapter 24, he has said this also. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So that's the endowment of power from on high. Amen. Yes, they had the Holy Spirit quite all right, and they could do things, but Holy Spirit was not inside of them. But now, when they are endued, the power of God will come. Boldness will come. You remember what happened in case of Peter? Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ before the cock crowed. 3 times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He was afraid like any other human being. There wasn't any special boldness. He denied that he never knew Jesus at that moment. But thank God for his mercy and grace, he was restored. Amen? Yes. And he did not commit suicide. He did not commit suicide like Judas Iscariot. And on the day of Pentecost, he was there. He was there with 119 others. We're told on the day of Pentecost, 120 people, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, they were there to receive the promise of the Father. Amen. It was something special. It was something unique. It was something they had not experienced before. The baptism of power. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. And then power will now come. That power, every one of us will need that power. Amen. It's not enough to be a Christian. I have given my life to Jesus Christ. And so what? You need the power. You need the power of baptism. Every one of us. Both young and old. Amen. Amen. Yes. The effect of the Holy Ghost baptism could easily be seen in the life of Peter. Peter denied the Lord, like I said. But what happened on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Ghost came? I'll tell you that some kind of supernatural boldness came upon him. Not only him, but the other apostles who also received and disciples. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 1. To 4. Acts chapter 2. Let's have a glimpse of what happened on the day of Pentecost. That Pentecost was a festival among the Jews. It was a particular day where people from all over the world, so to say, all the Jews from all over the world, they would gather in Jerusalem, you know, to celebrate that feast. And it happened, that was the day that God decided to fill the people with the Holy Ghost and with power. So let us read. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, amen, everybody say suddenly. They have been waiting for 10 days now, waiting for that promise. We don't know when this promise will come. How? But suddenly something happened. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. He heard some sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. How many of them? 120. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. That's what we're talking about. When you receive this Holy Ghost baptism, there's often this sign that follows. Speaking in tongues, prophesying. We are going to see from the scriptures that's how it happened to the apostles, and that's how it will happen to you too, and that's how it happened to me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, they started to speak in other languages. Other languages that they never learned. They never thought about it. But they were just speaking spontaneously. And people from all the nations of the world at that time, you know, they were hearing, they were understanding what Peter was preaching. Because the Holy Ghost had come. Endowment of power. Amen. Yes. When you too receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you experience that. And the Holy Ghost gave them boldness, and they declared the word of God with power and anointing. On the day of Pentecost, how many people received Christ? 3,000. Who preached? Peter. The one who denied Christ, not any other one. What happened? There was now a fresh anointing. There was now a fresh power. There was now boldness as never before. That's what you yourself will experience. There are some people here today who don't witness to other people. Why? Because they look at faces and they are afraid, and some are ashamed. Peter was he ashamed, neither was he afraid. And he preached 3,000, what did he say? 300? 3,000 souls were saved that day of Pentecost. And not long after that, 5,000 or so were saved. Meaning that from 120 to 3,120, now to 8,120. Amen. So within a very short time, that's what Holy Ghost can do in the church of God. And that's what Holy Ghost will do in this place. Every Wednesday we pray for a revival in this place. And the Lord will hear us. Amen. Yeah. But that's when you are ready, because you are the people. If Jesus Christ told the apostles to wait for him for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they did not, they went about their businesses and all that, and they were not fellowshipping, they were not waiting, they were not expectant, would they have received? No. Maybe some, if they were not all with one accord, some would receive, some would not. But all of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, they all received the baptism. Another effect of the Holy Ghost in the life of the apostles in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. May people take knowledge that you are with Christ and the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Yes. So that's something supernatural, that's something extraordinary. It's what we want to happen when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are some instances of people who receive. We have seen the general one on the day of Pentecost. What happened? They speak in tongues and glorify God. We're going to see Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Remember, I told you it's going to be a teaching session. That's what we are doing. Acts chapter 8, 14 to 17. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. The apostles, they were in Jerusalem at that time. But some people had gone to Samaria to minister the word of God. Lay people like you and me. No, went about preaching the gospel. As a result of the persecution, Christians scattered all over. Verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They had believed already. The apostle heard that, they were not believers in Samaria. What they now did, this one had just believed in Christ Jesus, but they needed power. That is why they sent these two apostles to them, so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was falling upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because there are some people who assume that, like I even told you now, that even at baptism, at repentance, conversion, that the Holy Spirit comes into you. I have not forgotten that. But that the fullness of power will come when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost through baptism. Baptism actually comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which is an immersion process, that you are immersed into something, you are dipped into something, you come out. When Jesus was baptized, he was dipped into the water and he came out. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, it means the fullness of power comes upon you. Just like Jesus Christ himself was baptized. He was baptized both of water and simultaneously with the power of the Holy Ghost. It happened in Jesus' case like that. When the voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Yes. So that happened, the sense they received the Holy Ghost when the apostles came to lay hands upon them. In Acts chapter 10, something wonderful happened. Something that had not happened before. Up to that time, they thought that, salvation is only for the Jews. Only the Jews had rights to receive this salvation that Jesus talked about. But something happened that God himself commissioned Peter to go to the Gentiles, to Cornelius' household in particular, to preach the word of life. And let's see what happened there. Acts chapter 10, 44. We know about the vision of the tent full of different animals, and Peter was hesitating and saying, the voice said, "Kill and eat, kill." You know, he said, "I can see different kinds of animals, different kinds of clean and unclean. We don't eat all this." But this is the same God speaking to him. Don't call whom God has called clean, unclean. Amen? Yes. While Peter spake these words, he had come to Cornelius' house. And now he was ministering the word of God. Just like some of you now, if you have the faith, if you are expectant, you too can receive. In fact, the purpose of this ministration is for you to know about the importance of the Holy Ghost and for you to desire, to test and hunger after the experience. Amen. While Peter yet spake this word, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. How do we know that the Holy Ghost came upon them? Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They were surprised, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. That's how they knew. Something happened. Something. It's not something hidden. But something spectacular had happened. So they spake in tongues, glorified God, just like on the day of Pentecost. There's another experience of sense of God who received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" I know you are believers. I know you have received Jesus Christ. The question was, have you received the Holy Ghost baptism? In other words, their answer was, "We have not so much as said whether there be any Holy Ghost. All I know, they preach Jesus Christ to us, we receive Jesus. It's like something else that you are telling us." So they say, "Holy Ghost baptism, I see." Verse 3, and he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Verse 4, then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That was like re-baptism. They had been baptized with John's baptism, John's water baptism, baptism of repentance, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Jesus Christ had come. They were not yet baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, Some of you may have been baptized one way or the other, but if it's not by immersion and in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to get properly baptized. Amen? And when they heard this, they said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have to delay. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And what happened? They spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. Well, no. Two or three instances we have given, we see people baptized in the Holy Ghost, they speak with other tongues. Languages they never learn. You don't learn the language. Spontaneously, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, but you are to open your mouth, believe. When you believe, you receive, then you speak, and that tongues will never leave you. In time of trouble, you speak in tongues, Satan and his demons will scatter. Amen. When you are confused, don't know what to do, you speak in tongues, God can give you revelation. So God wants to bless every one of us with the power of the Holy Ghost. You have received Christ, you are saved, and possibly you are already water baptized, but that's not enough. Amen. So if I were you, I begin to test and hunger right now. I really want to receive this baptism. So the Lord is there. So we've seen the Holy Ghost came upon certain disciples and they received the power. Myself in 1975, at 2 years after I had given my life to Jesus Christ, I wasn't so happy. The joy of the Lord was by there, but not so full. Why? Because I had not experienced speaking in tongues or the full baptism of the Holy Ghost. So for 2 years, I saw my colleagues, I saw my mates, they were speaking in tongues, were exhibiting the power of the Holy Ghost, and some of them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I started to pray, Lord, please, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it didn't come. The experience didn't come to me. One day, everybody say, one day, I came to myself. I said, no, I must be filled. So on my own, this was a campus environment, I went to one of the rooms where other brethren were gathered, some of the other believers. They were younger, not necessarily age, but by new birth experience. Some of them were younger. They had just received the Lord Jesus, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They myself, for 2 donkey years, I had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I now made up my mind. I went to one of their rooms and knelt down. I'm not here to preach anymore. I'm not here for anything, for entertainment. Please, I want to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. I was desperate. And brethren, one at all, they agreed and they laid hands upon me. And that's how I received the Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, there is a justice. A man I knew very well before he passed on, he was a learned man and he desired the baptism. The daughters were filled with the Holy Ghost. But he always mocked them. Say, you were speaking gibberish, you speak this, I can't understand you. They said, Daddy, you yourself, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. When you are baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost. You know what? He didn't believe. He said, no, I don't believe this story. I don't believe it. But one day, everybody say one day. One day, he was in his bathroom taking his bath. And suddenly, Holy Ghost descended upon him. Amen. I was speaking in tongues, And then when he came out, he said, my children, my daughter, it's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. Amen. May you experience that too in Jesus' name. My wife, when I married her, she had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But one day, ever say one day. One day. And that one day is today for you. One day, my wife came from the prayer meeting. I was just talking in tongues, shouting, speaking in tongues, uncontrollably. What happened? Holy Ghost has come upon her. Amen. And she kept on blasting in tongues.
thinking that maybe it will not come again. But anytime you want to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. No wonder the Bible says that we should charge our spiritual life, spiritual battery with the word of God, with speaking in tongues, speaking, praying the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. So it's very important that we receive the Holy Ghost baptism. The enjoyment of power comes. The gifts of the Spirit are open to us. We can receive the gifts of the Spirit. We can ask them, ask God for the gifts of the Spirit. And Holy Ghost makes you holy. Amen. Holy Ghost empowers you to live a holy life. The fruit of the Spirit, which are nine, they can only come when you have the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and then you ask God to help you. Amen. Before I round up, I want to talk about the benefits of Holy Ghost baptism. One, gives you power for service. You need this Holy Ghost for serving, not for show up that I too have this, I can speak it up. No, it's not for show up, but for service. The impartation of spiritual gifts becomes possible. God does not give Holy Ghost to those who don't know God. If you don't know God here, please repent and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Then you can be qualified to receive the Holy Ghost. It's a promise unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Holy Ghost helps us to live holy lives. He said the fruit of the Spirit becomes manifest. Then signs and wonders can be wrought by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are full of power. In fact, Holy Ghost regards dunamis, dynamic power of God, capable of reproducing itself. And the Bible says, the last days of the feast, when Jesus Christ was ministering, he said that he that believeth on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living waters. That rivers of living water is the Holy Ghost that comes spontaneously upon you, and the joy of the Lord is there, and the fullness of the power of God is there. So, Holy Ghost helps us to work signs and wonders and teaches us. Like I said, I was giving a testimony of a lady, 90-year-old lady, who was not educated by our standard, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, she was able to read the Bible or quote the Bible. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. So Holy Ghost teaches us, can teach us things. Even if you are an engineer, God can teach you through, by the power of the Holy Ghost, give you revelation as to how to solve a problem. So time will not permit to go into detail of that. But know that Holy Ghost is helper, is to help you to intercede. Even when you are praying, you don't know what to pray for. When you are praying with understanding, you don't know what to pray about. Holy Ghost gives you what to pray about. When you are praying and you don't know exactly what am I to pray, but say I should pray all without ceasing. You don't even know what to pray about. Burst into tongues and pray. Amen. There was a particular brother, in Benin at that time, Nigeria, and then the sister was in Lagos at the same time. So in the midnight, Holy Ghost word upon him to pray. Just pray. Pray. And of course, he didn't know what to pray. So he burst into tongues and was praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And after a long time, he knew he had prayed through. Come and see what happened. At that particular time when he was praying was when the sister was being delivered of a baby. Amen? In Lagos. Can you see the Spirit of God moving? Another sister testified that one night she was just praying. Oh, but when she first shut the word, what should I pray now? What the urge to pray was there. She forced it to us. I was praying. When she felt that she had prayed enough, she realized. The following day, she got a message from the brother who was trying to cross over to Europe through the sea. And we know about what happens, that many of them they get drowned in the sea and attempt to go to Europe. This brother was there for his turn to go into the boat. Then God had to tell you who left. Like a joke. Other people were entering. Second time, he made attempt. Go back, we don't need people like you. Third time, he made attempt. We don't need people like you. I went back. And what happened? Not long after they took off, the boat capsized and all the people drowned. So she had this testimony later.
but not knowing that Holy Ghost have prayed through her to save lives. That's what you do, especially those of us who intercede. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to intercede properly. You are interceding for nation, interceding for individual. The Holy Ghost will direct her to her to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, the least we can do because of time constraint is to lay hands upon you. Like that justice I told you of, you know, Holy Ghost is God himself who baptized with the Holy Ghost. When it comes to water baptism, a man of God can take you, get you baptized, and you come out. But when it comes to Holy Ghost baptism, it's God himself who is the baptizer. So don't look unto any of the ministers of God. Please, can you come, the pastors, Regilius, please come. Let us lay hands upon people who desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are not going to stay long. We don't lay hands in obedience to the word of God and leave the rest to God. Some of them, while going home, they can experience that power. Some of them, while they are cooking in the kitchen at home, Holy Ghost can come. That is what should happen. But remember, there has to be expectation and a strong desire. What qualifies you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? You are born again. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the basic qualification. And it's a gift. You don't purchase it. You just ask. But you are to receive by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? You want God to fill you at this time? If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, please come. We lay hands upon you and we leave the rest to God. Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. You desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have told you faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've told you what the word of God says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, pastors, please come. And then those who want to be baptized, please come. We lay hands upon you and leave the rest to God. Amen. Spirit of the living God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We magnify your name. We thank you for as many as call upon you, you hear them. He said, oh Lord, you are more anxious to give us the Holy Ghost. Even we early parents, when our children ask us for fish, will not give them snake, will not give them serpents. That you are so anxious and eager to give us the Holy Ghost. I pray, even as many as did not come out and they desire the Holy Ghost baptism, Lord, let them experience this baptism. Even while they are going home, even when they are home praying, even when they live a spell like that, justice, fill them, O God, overflowing in the name of Jesus. And give them power to overcome every trial and temptation that come their way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank my brothers and sisters, it is well with them. The Holy Ghost will overwhelm you and cause you to do the extraordinary above your equals. You shall excel above your equals in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen. Amen.